Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway. Oh, wow.
Sitting in a bed.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4. Hey, ho, let's go. Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Lovely to have your company as we count down to kick off. The Sharks taking on the Panthers at 3 o'clock. Right now it's time to welcome in Peter Sterling. Sterling, hello.
Good afternoon. I was listening to the conversation earlier and... you know, which obviously will lead to Ryan Girdler getting the tattoo on his backside for next weekend.
Wooden spoon.
I was lying in bed in a motel room on the morning of an Origin game, which I was involved in, and I had the radio turned on, and Fatty Vorton was being interviewed, and he said in that interview that if Queensland got beaten that night, that he would float around North Head naked on his back with a blue ribbon tied around his old fella if they got beaten. I have never wanted to win a game more. We got smashed.
Got smashed. That is disappointing.
Well, I didn't actually want to see the outcome, but not. I just wanted him to endure that. But
you've ever gone on the nudie run, Sterler?
No.
Never?
No. I did score at least one try every season, and I never saw any great. There's a lot of guys in our game who like nudity, and they seem to like male nudity, which I don't quite get.
I know, and it's uncomfortable for those around them. I mean, even when they finish playing football, I mean, your Fletcher Hindys of the world, they'll drop trowel at the, you know, top of a hat.
I don't understand a man crush if you're a man, to be honest.
There's anything wrong with it.
Not there's anything wrong with it. Exactly. I just don't quite get it, Tony.
All right. Well, some of the takeouts then from what we've seen so far. We've already at the top of the show talked about the news that broke at around noon, as it always does. Latrell Mitchell, Josh Reynolds will both, if they accept the early guilty plea, will cop 2 weeks suspensions. Josh Reynolds for mistaking Campbell Graham's head for the footy.
Now, it was an accident.
An accident, he said. I guess in terms of that dangerous contact head neck, it was there. You know, it doesn't matter how accidental it is. If the ball's in close proximity to a head, you probably shouldn't be swinging your boot. So he gets 2 weeks. Latrell Mitchell, who saw that and wasn't at all happy, and swung around and hit him. And then, of course, he got, I think, copped a fine for his other high shot.
Yep, on Luke Garner. So
it about right, you think?
Yeah, Josh Reynolds didn't mean to kick Campbell Graham in the head.
No
player in the game, you know, would do that. And it was very unfortunate. And, you know, you've got to pay a price for that. And to be honest, you can kind of understand Latrell's. If I saw a teammate that happened to your blood does boil, and it's, you know, it's difficult in situations to control that. So, yeah, you've got to, in both instances, I think that they had to pay some kind of price. And if a couple of weeks on the sideline, is deemed satisfactory, I'm okay with that. I just hope Campbell Graham's all right, and I believe that he is. But it looked terrible. But, you know, those kind of things happen at speed in a physical contact sport.
All right, well, let's go back to Thursday, the Roosters and the Cowboys. Another incredibly terrific performance from the Roosters. And I guess Matt Ikavalu is the story.
No. The story's Ryan Hall. This bloke who dead set scored hat tricks every week for Leeds coming across in game number 9. I don't know about you were talking about Brett Morris earlier pulling out. I feel for Ryan Hall. Did you see the forward pass in pretty much the last play of the game? It's going to come. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. But, when the other winger scores 5, you've got to be thinking, fellas, what's wrong with the left side?
Or the right side if you're Blake Ferguson for the Eels. He can't score a try.
Well, that's true too. But they're sailing along quite nicely, and his will come as well. But, just 9 games for Ryan in the NRL, and for a prolific try scorer, that must have hurt a little bit. The writing, unfortunately, was on the wall for North Queensland at halftime. I think the Roosters have completed 14 from 22 in the opening half, and that was as bad as I've seen them play a half of football, and they led 12-6.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as we said, it didn't augur well going into the second 40. And, the stories out of that game are, you know, the depth of the Roosters and how well they developed that and how far North Queensland have fallen off the pace over the last couple of seasons.
And how do they go about turning that around? Ship too big?
I don't know. I've said a couple of times, I just don't think their game has evolved from where it was, you know, and we keep saying in this sport, if you haven't moved on from the previous year, you're actually going backwards. And I just haven't seen, apart from Taumalolo through the middle and Drinkwater, who had an unhappy night, but has been impressive for them, apart from him drifting across field, looking to either find a hole himself or put someone through, there's not much else doing there. So, you know, I don't think that they provide much of a threat. But the obvious problem for them is that going into last night, in every game that they'd lost this year, which was, I think was five leading into the other night, they'd conceded at least 26 points. That didn't get any better against the Roosters. They've now conceded 84 in the last 2 weeks. That's where you start. But, I don't know what the Cowboys do here. And, the pressure will continue to grow on Paul Green, you would imagine.
You mentioned the depth of the Roosters, and Ikavalu got a lot of the accolades, but there are a few question marks when Sam Verrills went down, because we were thinking, well, who's going to be the backup for Jake Friend? Were you impressed with Lachlan Lamb? And a bit more, if you're a Roosters fan, I think a bit more relieved knowing that what he was able to produce after not playing footy for quite a while as well.
Yeah, look, you know, they'll cover that well. And I think the one thing that Trent Robinson realised very early on, and we saw that in week one, basically, when he rested Boyd Cordner, is that you are going to have to give players time through the course of the year. Coming back now and playing 18 games straight, that's tough, you know, physically and mentally. So I wasn't surprised the other night to see Collins get a fair bit of time. Fallon Masili was into the game, Tupanua. I think those guys, when available, they'll be given plenty of football. Nat Butcher is starting to look nice, not necessarily playing the same role as Victor Radley, but, sometimes being there as that first receiver and allowing the halves to play that little bit wider. So, they're well served. They're well covered, and they obviously all know the system. They know the routine. They know the expectations of them. They know their jobs. And as Trent Robertson pointed out, and I heard you guys talking about it earlier, you know, I've often thought how difficult it would be to go, you know, to travel and know that you're 18th man and to be fully committed, you know.
To that 18-hour day.
Having said, you know, I understand where Trent's coming from as well. I would prefer to fly in somewhere like that and fly out.
Yeah.
You know, despite the lead up, you know, I think that would be, and I can understand that is what they would like for the future, because as a player, I would appreciate that. You know, I didn't necessarily have to be away for a couple of days. I love my own bed, all of those kind of things. But I just thought for Ikavalu to be ready to go. Like, what about these warm-ups? Fair dinkum. I don't reckon I warmed up for 45 minutes during the whole week, let alone before a game. And
yeah, well, I've never stretched even in my career.
the last number of years, how many players have actually been injured in warm-up? Josh Maguire hurt his hand in the warm-up. And at one stage, you know, we saw footage of that, and you're thinking, oh, is he going to be okay to...
I once played the cricket team, Sturlo, where one of our players put his back out washing his face before the
game. I put my back out shaving. that's the true story. I was, you know, when you put the hot water on and the window, the mirror fogs up.
Yeah.
So that I could accommodate the fogging up, I actually bent down low to get under where you could still see into the mirror because the top part was fogged. And I did my back mid-shave. I couldn't get up. I couldn't go down. And
it's great.
It wasn't the best look, because I think I might have been naked at the time.
And then you did a nudie run around the stream for some help.
Damien Cook will join us next, and then we'll get Reedy's Mail on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Hello, M. Tony with you. Gerd's about to rejoin us. We're going to get to Reedy in a moment. Right now, score more value this NRL season with a Ladbrokes same game multi. Combine all your favourite markets into one big bet. Remember, gamble responsibly. Tom Hackett, g'day.
Hello, Tony.
3 o'clock. Two teams who have won their last three. The Panthers are obviously sitting further up the table than the Sharks. Where do the punters think it will rest?
Punters pretty confident the Panthers can continue their winning ways. They've been pretty well backed, especially late. They're now into $1.55. The Sharks have gone the other way. They're out to $2.50.
And then two teams really struggling at the moment, the Broncos and the Bulldogs. Who's going to get a bit of relief this evening?
I feel like I say it every week, Emma. Punters are coming for the Broncos again. They're giving them another chance. They're into $1.62. They're firm favourites here. The Bulldogs out to $2.40.
Tom, Canberra have already had a victory over the Melbourne Storm earlier this season. Does the market suggest they can repeat that?
Interesting betting game, this one, Sterlo. The Raiders were favourites at one point earlier in the week, but all the late money has come for the Melbourne Storm. They're now into $1.75. They'll start as clear favourites. The Raiders out to $2.15.
All right, so the punter's saying that Craig Bellamy won't have to do the nudie run. I love it. Tom, thank you so much. Score more value this NRL season with the Ladbroke Same Game Multi. Combine all your favourite markets into one big bet, but gamble responsibly. Time now to catch up with a man from South Sydney who got the job done, Damien Cook. G'day.
How you going, guys?
Very, very well, thank you.
That's a very Australian intro.
G'day.
G'day, Damien. Damo.
Yeah, I'm going to say hooroo at the end. Hooroo, Cookie. mate, it was a bit testy there last evening.
It was, mate. It was probably the game probably got started once that sort of incident happened. And sometimes that can be good for both teams. Fires them up and it gets them into the contest. So we'll see with that. But we'll see what happens with those two guys. Hopefully both just get I don't know what's happened over there.
Well, we can tell you what has happened. They've they both
Latrell's out for the season. Damien. Yeah. It's bad news for South. A couple of you not all over that.
Yeah. No, 2 weeks each if they take the guilty plea. So Latrell missed two, and then he's been fined for the other high shot. And Josh Reynolds, he also gets 2 weeks. And Campbell Graham, apart from the lace marks on his chin, how's he going? Is he okay?
No, he was good, mate. He come back straight on, and he's a pretty tough fella, Campbell. He's been really good for us. Probably been our best player, I think, for this year. He's very consistent and he does a lot of hard work for us. So when he went off the field, I was definitely hoping he'd come back on, and he definitely got back on there and done a good job for us.
Must have been pretty good watching that right side just absolutely tear the Tigers to shreds. James Roberts, a couple of games back now, had a great game, and Dane Gagai, a hat-trick. That was pretty good to watch.
Yeah, that was awesome, especially for Jet to have him back and get him over the try line. I know he'll be happy with that, and it was a great effort too. He still had a fair bit to do once Renault gave him that pretty good ball across the face of the Tigers' defence and Gags as well. We had a plan probably at half-time, and Wayne said that's probably where we're going to get most of our joy is on that right side, and that's what we stuck to. And obviously Gags got over 3 times. We got the job done, and probably would have been a little bit easier if our little halfback kicked a few more goals than he normally does.
Yeah, did you give it to him?
Yeah, we did. We gave it to him. Wayne did in the sheds too, so... would have been a lot less closer, I think. But
he was going at 98% or something.
Yeah, it's dropped down to 95. Yeah. Terrible.
Definitely hurt the percentage, and I think he was more filthy at that as well.
So. Damien, we're at the halfway mark of the season next week, round 10. Where are South as we sit at the moment?
Look, last time was a good improvement. We probably only had that lapse of about 15 minutes in the second half. We've been quite patchy at the start of the season, playing good parts of the game and then letting teams back in and letting the pressure off. And last night we probably only had a 10-15 minute gap where we allowed them back in. So that's a good thing moving forward. And our defence has probably been our best part of our game the last month. And really look like we're defending and working hard for each other. So we just got to keep our completion rate. But last night was a massive step forward. So definitely improving each week, and that's all we can ask for.
All right, 7 weeks back now from the resumption. And that's 7 weeks of the six again, like a little bit more freedom around the ruck area. How have you found it individually as the way that you play the game? How have you adapted to a new style of game, I guess, for want of a better word?
Yeah, no, I feel like in the middle there, sometimes it looks like there's a lot more space than there is. And every game's been different, I've noticed, in how many six agains you do get. The good thing is the refs are doing a good job and they're being consistent with both sides every game. But I think every ref has been different in their own way and how they interpret that. And that's fine as long as it's the same for both sides. And for me, it's definitely trying not to overplay my hand. But I definitely think the last couple of weeks, I'm probably running and backing myself a little bit more to try and break the line a little bit more, and that's definitely what I need to do is keep getting my confidence up with my running game. But other than that, I think last night was actually a big improvement for us forwards. We were getting in behind the ruck a bit more and rolling up the field a lot better.
And apart from his pathetic kicking, your little number 7 did actually run the ball a lot more last night, didn't he?
But he did. He even got through that little gap, and the wheels are going like little hamster on a hamster. That's the fastest I've seen him move in a long time. He almost got over the try line, so not bad for 30 years old yesterday too.
Oh, well, happy birthday, Adam Reynolds. How are you as a preparer in games? If you like for the rest of this weekend, will you sit down and watch all of the games? You study them analytically. What do you do?
Yeah, when I play like Friday night games, I don't mind having the footy on and keeping up with it. When I play like the Sunday games, Wayne makes sure we don't watch too much footy leading up to it, so he sort of tells us to stay away from it on a Saturday night if we're playing Sunday, but I'll enjoy having it in the background today and tomorrow, and then once I get back on Friday, get ready to sort of freshen up and get ready for the next week ahead. But you know, I definitely got my routines in place all the way through the week, and especially game day as well.
Cookie, one of the highlights of my week each and every week is just watching the press conferences of Wayne Bennett, all of his pre-game interviews, post-game, whatever it is, you get a laugh out of him, you get a good grab, and he had a bit of fun with Freddie last night as well. Do you ever go and watch that sort of stuff, or is there any sort of chat about what Wayne gives the media? Because it's a bit of a spectacle each and every week.
I haven't watched the press conference yet, but I know how he is in media, and it can be very funny sometimes. You almost feel sorry for the reporters who are just asking the questions. Sometimes you don't know what you're going to get back from him. So it can be quite entertaining with Wayne, but, I think everyone knows how he is with the media.
Yeah, he is. I just imagine him coming back.
The media,
coming back into the dressing room and said, "Oh, you should have seen what I
did." Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Did he come back and say, "Oh, I got her a beauty tonight. I did this."
Matty Russell had asked three questions three times. All right. Hey, lovely to talk to you. Congratulations on another win. All the best.
No worries. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, bro. Right.
Hooroo Cookie.
I find that a really interesting question when you ask players, are they footy heads? Like, do they watch other games? Because there are some. I think I'm right in saying George Tafu was asked that. He said he doesn't know anything about any other games. Mm-hmm. Doesn't watch other teams. Doesn't watch any games type thing. And which I guess for some is obviously a really good way to do it. I know when I played, couldn't get enough of it type thing. And I imagine that there's a happy medium in there somewhere.
But, yeah, absolutely. Stuart McGill in cricket, he couldn't stand to watch cricket.
Is that right?
Just hated it. Yeah. Zero interest whatsoever. It is. It's amazing. Everybody's very, very different, including Brett Reed, who will join us next for Reedy's Mail on Saturday's Grum. Thanks to King G. Now it's time for a bit of this.
Reedy's Mail.
Brent Reed, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I've just lobbed at Penrith. I'm pumped for this game.
You've just lobbed at Penrith?
Nah, it's a G up. Yeah. I've gone to the right ground.
I didn't. Yes. Thank God. I thought you didn't. You're pretty reluctant to cross the Harbour Bridge, though, aren't you? You're a bit of a Northern Beaches snob.
I shed a few tears across the bridge.
Yeah.
Well, it's uncomfortable, when you leave the beaches. It's not.
Not
it doesn't feel right. Yeah.
See, the problem with that opening, Rudy, is we actually expect you to do things like that. So
it sounds like you weren't shocked at all. I'm not disappointed.
How is the beautiful spiritual home of the St. George Illawarra Dragons Jubilee Stadium as we speak?
Well, it always looks good, doesn't it, Tone? The punters are allowed in and started to make their way up. Is that called Jubilee Street? What's the street called outside the ground?
Well, you're there.
I know. I can't
just
read the
Just
title.
Look up.
Isn't it Carlton?
That's it, yeah. The punters are starting to make their way up in their Cronulla jerseys. So, big day for the Sharks. Big test for them, I reckon.
Yeah. No, we're going to get to that game in some detail in a minute. What about the Blake Green and the Warriors? A lot of talk about him not being there. What's the story?
Yeah, it's a big week for a lot of people this week, Tone, in terms of contracts. I sort of want to touch on a few of them. Blake Green's one of them because he obviously was told, or came out a week ago, he'd been told that he wouldn't be at the club next season. And since then, a few rumours have emerged that Blake Green could be on the move. Now, he's got to August 3 to find a new home, and there's plenty of clubs sniffing around Blake Green because, a bloke like him with his experience and his nous, he could probably help out a few teams. And there's some obvious sort of ones at the moment north of the border, the Broncos and the Cowboys, who probably could do with a halfback or a leader or a general like Blake Green. So I think in the next 7 days or so, we should know what Blake Green's going to do. I don't think the Warriors will stand in his way. If he asks for a release early, I'm pretty confident the Warriors will let him go. So, as I said, the next 7 days, I reckon we'll know a bit more about Blake Green. I wouldn't be surprised if he is playing for someone else next week, as soon as next weekend.
As soon as next weekend?
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's got to get done in the next, two or three weeks, I think. August 3 is 3 weeks away. So, he gets through the game.
The Warriors are light on troops. They've got some players going home.
Their two wingers are heading off.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Well, that may not happen yet. That's still a couple of weeks away from being decided. And I think the NRL's still optimistic they can, convince the government to allow their families to come over. But in terms of Blake Green, I think the Warriors feel like he's given them pretty decent service. And I know they want to see what Chanel Tabita Harris goes like this year. And they'll have Cody Nikorima back. So, as I said, I'll be surprised he's coming to the end of his career, Blake, and I don't think they'll stand his way. That's the sense I get. So if he does go to them in the next week or two and says, I've got something on the table elsewhere, I think they'll let him go. That's just the feeling I get from you know, speaking to people in and around the Warriors.
If their wingers do go home and they're looking for another lone player, Ikevalu's going well.
Isn't he what?
Absolutely.
Well, you know what? It's funny that loan, you know, there's some talk about maybe extending that loan deal and keeping it going next season, but it's been great. You see what Farmacilli's done at the Roosters since he went to the Warriors on loan. I know there was a reluctance early on from some clubs to loan players to the Warriors, but you can see the benefit it's had for a bloke like Farmacilli. So I reckon if the Warriors go knocking at the doors of some clubs now, I think some clubs will be more open to letting them have players because there's a real benefit in it for them.
For both clubs, yeah, absolutely. Although I note that John Morris, when he was asked about whether they'd like it to continue, he said maybe fans don't like it so much seeing their team players playing for some other team. But we see that all the time anyway, don't we? As I said, we should be wearing the socks of the team for next year.
Well, Johnny might have to get used to it, and Cronulla fans might, because Toby Rudolph, I mentioned big weeks for guys. It's a massive week for Toby Rudolph because, you know, a while ago now, pre-COVID, Toby agreed to a deal to go to the Warriors. It was a long-term deal, and look, there was no doubt about the agreement because both he and his manager both sent emails to the club agreeing to the terms. They signed a heads of agreement. But now we're in a situation where Toby's now second-guessing that, and he wants to stay at Cronulla. And look, the Warriors are digging in their heels over this one. They will not let Toby Rudolph out of that deal unless they get a player of similar ability from the Sharks. And there's been talk of Braden Hamlin Ueli or a player of similar ilk from another club. So, you know, it's added a little bit of extra spice to that game next weekend now because Cronulla play the Warriors. I'm sure Toby Rudolph might come in for a bit of extra attention for blokes who may yet be his teammate next year.
What about Nick Kotrick? What's happening on that front?
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about him a bit earlier about Nick Kotrick. Again, a massive week for Nick Kotrick. I think Canterbury at least expect a decision in the next 7 days, and so did Canberra. Canberra have now tabled a 5-year deal for Nick Kotrick. So whilst the yearly amount might be more at Canterbury, the sum total of the deal is now more at Canberra because they've offered extended that offer out to 5 years. So 5 years around the $500,000 mark. Canterbury around the $600,000 mark for 3 to 4 years. So, you know, they may push it a little further now, Canterbury. I guess the ball's in their court to decide whether they want to push it out to 5 years and match Canberra. But I think Canberra thought he was gone. But now that they've pushed it out to 5 years, I think Canberra are growing a little bit more confident that maybe Nick Kotrick will stay. You know, he's a local kid. His family live in Canberra, and I don't think he wants to leave, but I think the idea of playing centre and getting a long-term deal or a more affluent deal at Canterbury was enticing. But I get the sense that Canberra think maybe the fact they've now offered 5 years might convince Nick Kotrick to stay. So expect a decision on Nick Kotrick next week.
All right, just finally on those player movements, what about Tyrone May?
Yeah, look, obviously Penrith's still having a bit of I wouldn't say a set to, but they're still a stalemate with James Tarmo. But Tyrone May looks as though they'll get a deal done with him in the next 2 to 4 weeks. Tyrone May, we haven't seen a lot of him. He's had his issues in the past year or so, but starting to play some footy now and looks like Penrith will be able to retain him long term. So a good result for Penrith.
Most importantly, Rudy, did you shout Emma's lunch during the week?
You know what? I was with a good mate of mine, Stewie Annie, and we tried to shout Emma, and she said no, she refused.
Right, so the answer's no. I asked you, did you shout Emma lunch during the week, and your answer's no. Your answer's no.
It's the offer. I knew she'd say no, that's why I made the offer, but at least I made the offer.
Yeah, you're supposed to make the offer before she's already put her card down and paid for everybody else.
That's
what we're hearing.
Yeah. Unbelievable. It was a great meal, by the way. Mm-hmm. What was that?
Expensive, but great.
Pork belly.
Yeah.
Pork belly with some roast potatoes. We had some garlic bread, some...
You went health.
Calamari. Yeah.
little bit of cav sav.
Just a shame about the company, yeah?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Brent Reed, as ever, thanks so much, buddy. Catch up next week.
See you, guys.
There he is, Reedy. We'll hear from Penrith coach Ivan Cleary next. Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Just over 20 minutes away from kickoff, the Sharks and the Panthers at Nostrada Jubilee Stadium. Ivan Cleary, the Penrith coach, and caught up with him a little earlier.
Ivan, we've got a debutant in Charlie Staines. Tell us a bit about him coming in for Dean Farre.
Yeah, Charlie's from Forbes. He's been in our system for a few years now. Played through the junior ranks, and he's been training really well. In the background, and yeah, looking forward to seeing him get his debut and play today.
Such a tough and physical encounter last week, and looking at the Sharks side, really physical pack as well. It's probably going to be a similar kind of contest.
Yeah, we've had quite a few of those games lately, so we're certainly battle hardened in that respect. little bit wet today. So, yeah, I guess it's going to be played probably between the scrum lines a bit. So, yeah, I mean, look, Sharks have been in good form coming in. I'm sure they're pretty confident. So, we've certainly got a challenge in our hands.
And your forwards too been playing, I mean, Kikau playing big minutes, Appy playing big minutes too. How do you look at managing that rotation to try and potentially ease the burden within the game or over the next couple of weeks as well? Do you look to do that?
Yeah, we've certainly, I guess, looked at all types of ways to do that, whether it's training, playing in games, rotation, whatever. So we're constantly having a look at that. We've got a 7-day turnaround this week, so, you know, an 8-1 next week. So that helps. It's just a day-to-day, week-to-week type thing.
And we've been on the show singing the praises of Appy Coruscant, as I know everyone has really done all season. Can you really put into words what he's added to this side?
Well, he's added both on and off the field. It's pretty obvious how well he's been playing and how he controls most things that we do. I think one thing that probably he might get a little overlooked for is his defence. I mean, we're actually signing him just as much as his attack, his ability to defend. He defends differently to most of the rest of our forward pack too, so it's a nice balance there as well. But it's off the field as well. His leadership-wise, he's been really good, and he just brings a pretty good energy to the to the building each day as well.
Well, thanks for your time, Ivan. Best of luck.
Thanks, Emma.
Ivan Cleary, opened him up like a can.
She's done that before.
Yeah, so good. You didn't ask him about the blowing kisses last week.
Didn't want to put him off just before the game. Mm-hmm. Potentially, that would be what you'd ask in the press conference the day before the game.
Okay.
Not just right before the game.
Come on, Tony.
Sometimes
you've been in the industry long enough.
He blew him kisses at the end of it. Anyway.
So that, is it?
You have to be careful.
There's a lot
right
of love
before
in the room,
the
wasn't there then, Pete?
Oh. Yeah.
Has to be game related.
Yeah.
No, sometimes they snap if it's, you know, a little bit controversial right before the game.
No, I get that. Any changes to the lineups for this game? Kickoff 3:00.
Yeah, there's one change to the Sharkies. Oh, well, there's two changes to the Sharkies. One's really interesting. Molotalo's out, who's missed the last couple of weeks with a knee. Nene McDonald will make his debut for the Sharkies.
Oh,
handy pickup, that is. And then Fifita, who's been starting from the bench most weeks anyway, is back to the bench and ULA starts. No surprises, really.
All right, we'll look at that game in some detail and the others that'll be played when we come back on the Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G. Thanks, boss. Triple M rocking the footy with a bit of Bruce Springsteen heading towards kickoff Stirlo, Ryan Girdler, Emma Lawrence. My name is Tony Squires. The second game, Brisbane, Canterbury, Stirlo. We mentioned earlier the idea of Anthony Seibold handing the keys to the car to the players this week. You see that making much of a difference?
I'd like to know what the week looked like.
Yeah.
To me, the problem with that is the innuendo of the captain coming out and saying, well, now that we've run things, we don't have any excuses if we don't get the job done. So basically,
before
they're saying there were excuses that the coach got it wrong. I don't quite get it. You know, as I say, I'd like to see what the week looked like, but I'd be very, very surprised if basically it was carte blanche for the players.
Yeah,
to go out and just,
because if so, no matter which way the result goes, it kind of feels funny for Anthony Seibold.
Yeah, he's got to be in control and put their have some liaison with the players as to maybe some things that they both think that they need to work on. I thought it was very strange for the captain to come out and say, well, you know, after we've gone through this, now we don't have any excuses if this doesn't work, because we've had our input.
Later tonight, Canberra and Melbourne, we spoke to Cam Munster on Tuesday night, and I reckon he's a sneaky chance of having a run around. Would seem remarkable. But Canberra, will they get the job done? Who do you think, Gerds?
Got a good record, haven't they, as Ricky touched on, and they haven't. Weren't at their best over the last couple of weeks, the Raiders, and only 1-2 sort of at their last five. So, I think there's little improvements. They haven't sort of got back to the level that we saw them at the back end of last year, whether that's some of the changes of the game, whether or not the expectation they're not handling, not too sure. But they're going to need to be better today to take on Melbourne, who came off a pretty impressive win last week. A great game that they would have taken a lot of confidence out of. So hopefully the Raiders can get up and make this a good spectacle, because it's potentially the match of the round, but I think the Storm will win.
All right, Stirlo, before we get to kick off, the Sharks and the Panthers, they've got three on a trot, both of them. Perhaps the Sharkies, the opposition, not quite as strong. Where are you going?
Yeah, they've convinced me, Penrith. I'm yet to be convinced by Cronulla. Titans, Bulldogs in there, and obviously a very much under strength Manly side. So today, it's a great 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon game, this one. If Cronulla can come out and get the job done and put on a good performance, then I'll be a bit more of a believer. But I like Penrith because, you know, outside the Parramatta game, they'd be undefeated and they probably should have won that one as well.
All right, sadly, that's where we have to leave you. Very good thanks to King G for their support. Go out, watch your football, listen to your football right here. It's Triple M Rocks the Footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.